Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Adam has some responsibilities on the news side. He'll be back with us next segment. Adam has played the soundbite, I think all 3 hours, from Governor Walz and his appearance with Dave this morning. That is available to you a couple different ways, WCCOradio.com, also radio.com. Hit the rewind feature. I think it was 720. I think I saw that in Jimmy's email earlier. And we're emphasizing the part where it's not personal because the governor said that. Right, so Adam's picking out the good soundbite, and Steve Simpson did too. Who thinks it's personal, Dan? I actually don't give a damn if they're friendly. To me, the emails were crystal clear that Fry and Arredondo were saying, help, we're in deep trouble, and we need the guard here stat. And to me, it's clear again that Walz and the administration said, we need more of a detailed plan from you. And anybody who listened to me that week, anybody wants to go back to my tweets and is going to accuse me of being soft on Jacob Fry, well, just go back and look at what I said at the time. Look at what I tweeted at the time. And again, I am not taking Jacob Fry off the hook. But Dan, Walz's answers today with Dave left me lacking again. I didn't think, boom, snap your fingers, 7,000 members of the Guard would be there. And I think Fry made a horrible mistake taking the police away from the precinct. Never should have done that. As Adam said, this is a time for a social experiment. But you're really telling me that this is how a governor, when any city, let alone the major city, is burning down right in front of your eyes, and you're going to say, hey, we need this down to the minutiae, detailed exactly what's taking place? There was nobody within the governor's office, as we watch what happened on Tuesday, who thought maybe the guard was a possibility. There was no dialogue between whether it was Fry and Walz themselves or other people, Dan, saying, if this gets worse, we're going to step in. So again, who gives a bleep if they get along? It's, did you really have to have this whole thing laid down? Because am I missing something? Before George Floyd, L.A., New York, Seattle, Charlotte, Dallas, did all those mayors have a specific detailed plan for the National Guard as opposed to, hey, this event happened, we handled it this way, up for debate, up for criticism, but we don't have enough people right now. Help. Send in troops. I still think Walz is not getting enough heat in this one. What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, we talked about it, I believe, earlier in the week that with the governor's experience with the National Guard, that he should be uniquely positioned to understand how that works and what needs to happen. And so there's and we also, I think, discussed that is there any mayor in any town that has that hasn't used the Guard before that would have that idea, right? Here's the plan. Here's what you need to do in order to get the governor to activate the National Guard for you on hand, ready to go. I don't know that many mayors would be ready to do that. So when it comes time and Minneapolis is burning, you can't have the conversation, well, okay, but where's the plan here? You know, step by step by step. You can't do that at that point. You need to get at least get things moving to a point where when a better plan is available, you're ready to go at a moment's notice. But to say in that exchange, well, we need to have, you know, like a TikTok of how you're going to use these guys, it just isn't realistic. And especially when the city is in the middle of burning.
It's not acceptable. And to me, his experience with the Guard actually was a detriment in this case.
I think you could argue that for sure.
And that he's so used to the extensive planning that he saw as a member of the Guard, and he thought, okay, this is the way we have to approach it. And we had his comment the other day about, well, 19-year-old cooks are coming in. He used the wrong verbiage, in my opinion. I thought it was too dismissive. But his point is, it's not like they're sitting there day after day after day, year after year after year, and they're ready to go. They're doing their other things. And I get that Governor Walz doesn't want to send the National Guard to places where they could be in harm's way also. Their life matters every bit as much as others. But here's where he loses me a little bit. And by the way, closer to the Walz administration, when Tim Walz was a congressman on this show maybe 50 times, when he ran for office on this show, double figures, moderated the last debate, we can't get Governor Walz on this show anymore. Honestly, what? I mean, if you have the audacity to ask a question now, people just don't want to come on anymore. It's head shaking. But it wasn't like the troops were out in force the next couple days, were they, Dan? I seem to remember what a bleep show Thursday was and what a bleep show Friday was, including where Tim Walz said on Friday, this is all on me. This is all on me. And there were still way too many restrictions. So the Republicans, they had some hearings. Pretty sure they were in the Senate where they have the majority. But, and I know it's going to be months and months after. If we wait until when they get back into session, I assume we probably will now with an election. But do you think we still know enough that we know enough about what happened? Those emails were illuminating. And it's not like I now think, man, why did I ever criticize Jacob Frey? Because he vanished and some of his decisions I didn't agree with. They didn't have the troops, ladies and gentlemen. They just didn't. They never, ever should have pulled them from the precinct. That did have a domino effect across the country. I believe that 100%. But when you go to the governor, and the governor has that. And by the way, not only weren't out there Wednesday, but they weren't out there Thursday, and they were out in a limited way Friday. How many days did Walz need to know, Dan, until Saturday when they're out everywhere? That's way too long.
Right, and that's a specific question that he hasn't answered yet and we should have answered.
Yeah, at this point. So I wanted to get to that. I still want to get this school topic. Let's break here because I think this is really interesting. Because we're not surprised that the numbers are going to change when the Walz administration set up, we're going to try to give you the guidelines, but then leave it up to you. But as the headline says in the Star Tribune, new COVID-19 data shifts 27 counties in school status. How often is that going to happen? If everybody listening is making plans, okay, my kids are actually going to school this week. And then all of a sudden, you get that notice, and is it, what, 3 days later? Is it a day later? How quick can you pivot? And then also, when more families are banding together for education during the pandemic, I get that makes sense, but a lot of people are saying, once again, you're creating more of a disparity for the families who can't do it. You want to chime in the Walls Fry conversation? Jump in ahead on here, this education point. You certainly can. Same number for a text or a phone call, 651-989-9226. I think Adam's in. If you're in, Adam, just chime in at some point. Texter nailed it. Do Walls and Fry think we care if they get along and have tea together? It's never personal and business politics. Instead of them talking, maybe give us the facts why it went wrong. It's just deflection. I understand why Fry released those messages. What does it prove? Have a good weekend. Exactly right. Who gives a damn if they get along? All right, the data's shifting on the schools and the counties. This goes back to, when was it now? Was it 2 weeks ago? I think it was on a, Thursday, right?
So yeah, it was for sure.
2 weeks ago, where in a press conference that I believe just finished yesterday, right, Dan?
No, actually, it's still going.
It's still going. The press conference has not ended.
No, it's just they're just going to keep going all the way to the start of the school year, I think.
And then when they were asked questions, they were like, even though their presentation went about 90 minutes, Hauser and Mary LaHammer were putting them in positions like, we got to check on that. We don't have that data. Well, it was, you know, here are the categories, and here's where your school, because of what's going on in your county, goes from in-person, hybrid, to all online. And I think we all probably anticipated this, but it stood out to me when I saw the story pop up late yesterday on the Trip site and in the paper today. New data shifts 27 county school status. The whole point, this was going to be dynamic. It wasn't going to be Adam and Dan, hey, here's what it is when we start September 1st, so we're going to stay. That's idiotic. COVID doesn't work that way. By the way, let's acknowledge that over the last 11 days, the country's averaged over 1,000 deaths. 1,000 deaths. So if anybody is saying it's under control, you need to explain to me how this is under control, that 1,000 people dying from this is under control. You're under control is deserves the buzzer. But it just adds to all the challenges of this. Let's all stipulate that the biggest concern is health. And let's also point out again, when the president the other day is saying kids are basically immune, he's lying. He just is lying. There are scientifically proven discrepancies between younger kids and the teenage kids. Not once does anybody say immune when the president is just trying to put the narrative out that we're back, let's open it all up, and I've solved it. Again, with Geraldo the other day, said he didn't make a single mistake. But when you're trying to plan this out, listen, I'll just my quick story. Quentin, my youngest son, who I talk about a lot, you know, this last year was going to be his senior year. It was. Q is in the special education department. He has developmental delays. This hit him very hard. Thankfully, so far, not on the serious health side, but he's talked about a graduation event, the actual ceremony and a party thousands of times, just as a repetitiveness of the health challenges he has. So Kathleen, my ex-wife, we share 50-50 custody. Kathleen stepped up great. And she carried almost all of the distance learning. She'd like to work too. Right now, I'm on the air when distance learning is going on and the work I do before. And there's, I mean, across the country, tens and tens and tens of millions of those stories. Adam, are you there? Are you back?
Yep.
Adam's not. Okay, go ahead. Just like, how do you think if now do you know what your schools are at right now? Because we received from our schools yesterday, we're hybrid. And because of Q's health, he's not going to go. So it's hybrid. Do you know what the status is for the girls at this point?
We got a message from the school district yesterday. They're going to the Board of Education Monday with their plans, and then they're going to release it to parents.
Okay. So let's say
now,
it is this.
Dakota County would allow for hybrid secondary and in class for elementary, I think.
Yep.
That's what I saw.
So what are you guys going to do? Like last year, the girls went away for a while, right? Didn't they go to Heidi's sisters? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And how do people do that under like this scenario if it's changing week by week? You work. Heidi works. Jenna has her kids. You know, she's busy. There's just millions and millions of stories. How difficult will it be for your family if it's, hey, I got to be waiting for the next email to tell us, you know, Morgan now can go, but Siggy can't, or they both can go, you know, just the position you personally are going to be in.
We're lucky enough that our work hours are so different that we're able to pretty much have an adult there with the girls at all times. So in that way, we're fairly flexible, and I'm not terribly concerned if that is the case. If suddenly things change like that, I mean, it's a hassle from the standpoint of, okay, now we got to rearrange our schedule this week, just, you know, but I think we did a fairly pretty good job of the end of last school year doing that. So I'm not terribly concerned about it right now.
Well, it sounds to me that you guys did a fabulous job last year, but as you know, so many others can't figure that out, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah. No, you know, that's what I'm saying. I'm lucky. We're lucky in that way that we work opposite time schedules.
And, you know, a lot of businesses, Dan, are like, okay, understand it. You know, I'll say again, trust me, I'll give my areas where I disagree with the station management. This place with me and Quentin, they've been a 15 on a scale of 0 to 10. I mean, they have never let me down on the things that I have to alter and change because of, you know, Quentin's seizures and other significant health issues. They've been remarkable. But, you know, everybody doesn't have a boss like that. My bosses might get better jobs and leave, and somebody's going to say, too bad, here's your shift, right? And Dan, when you start bringing in tens and tens of millions of people, and these situations will change on a regular basis, I don't think they have an alternative, right? I don't think you can say, boom, for the month, this is it. Because if things change, if you put one policy in October 1st, and by October 20th, sadly, it's turned worse, or fortunately, it's turned better, Dan, I don't think we want to be in a position where, no, we just won't change. You have to have the ability to change, but how many people can work through that?
That's just it. I mean, and you're right. The parents, obviously, that's a huge issue, you know, in terms of readjusting work schedules and trying to see what they can do. And at the same time, if you're school districts, I mean, how prepared are you for this right now to be able to, you know, on a weekly or biweekly basis, be able to say, okay, we can do this week, and next week we may have to change.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a tremendous load on the schools to have to deal with and teachers to have to deal with. I mean, it's impossible for everybody, it feels like. And yet we don't really have a choice but to try and, you know, manage our way through it because, like you keep saying, the virus doesn't care.
You know, and it just
– go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dan.
No, no, go ahead.
And it's just nonsense when it's just put out a statement, open the schools. Open the schools. Sure. Why don't you just go there? Why don't you just go there, no protocols, and just be fine with it? Because it's not that – simple. How about this situation in Georgia, Adam, early in the week, where a couple of the students showed the hallways completely packed, paying zero attention to physical distancing guidelines. The teachers either couldn't get it under control, the administrators couldn't get it under control, or it just wasn't possible. But it was complete and utter failure. So two kids take the photos and show it. And did you see what happened to the kids?
Suspended.
Suspended. That's because it violated the policy. Sure. You're putting kids at risk. And I know what we'll do first. we'll punish the kids. How about you own up and say what a failure you were, or say, we can't do this. We cannot do this. And the kids just pointed out the truth. Then the learning together component. Sure, but a good story about that too, Adam. About the number of families who are banding together when they can in neighborhoods and through Facebook because of everything we just said. Schools change so fast. Work changes so fast. Kids all sorts of different ages. Minneapolis Public Schools quoted in the story, and they're right on. I'm not disagreeing with this, but I want to comment on it. Inevitably, this, for the kids who have an opportunity to do some bonding and learn together compared to the ones who won't, this will lead to different outcomes between students who have access to those resources and those who don't. This already happened before distance learning when families had resources to provide tutoring and other support for their children. It's terribly unfair what happens to so many kids by the luck of birth or the unluckiness of that the finances available to the parents, to the school districts available, and this is, gets back to Alan Page and Neil Kashkari on how they're trying to change our Constitution. But Adam, they're so overwhelmed right now. I hope they're doing the best. Listen, as the father of a kid in special education, I have great concerns about how my kid's being treated compared to others. And I feel terrible for folks who don't have those other neighbors around or don't have the time to do this. I don't know how much money the schools can come up with to help this out because, oh, by the way, we still don't know how many teachers are going to show up. And, it's not like I think the families, Adam, who can do this should feel guilty and not do it. But I don't know how we try to resolve it on the disparity. It just adds to when we talk about this all the time. The enormous differences, Adam, we have in our state on racial lines and even more so on economic lines. And COVID-19 has just put an enormous spotlight on that, too.
Yeah, not only in school, like not public school systems, but pretty much our whole system of operation in this country. This has really laid bare the shortcomings that this nation has. Healthcare. Education, 100%. You know,
mortality rates, illness rates. When will more schools be 100% certain of all their kids coming, all their teachers coming back too? That's another gray area that is still out there. And how many teachers might say, Dan, okay, I told you August 1st I was in. I've now come back. We're 10 days in. I just don't feel safe. You can sketch this out. You can model this. You can try it. But all of a sudden, your older school or your bigger school or your school just a few more rooms and all of a sudden all those kids show up, Dan. Parents might have very different views when they hear from their kids. And teachers might have very different views. More, I'm sure, will feel comforted by it, right? But others might be saying, I can't do this. I'm out of here.
Well, I mean, teachers have families too, right? They can have kids or parents or other relatives that have conditions that make them more vulnerable, and they've got to keep that in mind because they're, you know, essentially trapped in these buildings 8 hours a day or whatever it is. I mean, it's just as difficult, if not more so, for teachers as it is for parents.
Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.